You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kia ora. So there was a big fire yesterday in Papakura Scrap Metal Yard, which was extinguished around 3 a.m. this morning. The materials and the toxicity of these materials are currently unknown, so we don't really know the health impacts of this. There have been health warnings put out around the fire, especially for people with respiratory illnesses. So I spoke with Letitia Harding, the Chief Executive of Asthma and Respiratory Foundation New Zealand, about how fire smoke impacts people suffering with respiratory illnesses, the rates of asthma and respiratory illness in Pacifica and Māori, and also how to protect your lungs near a fire. So I started off by asking Letitia if they have had any respiratory issues reported from yesterday's fire.
There's nothing that we've heard come through, you know, it would be hard to tell. Basically, people would probably be going to their local A&E, I expect, if they've had any problems with their conditions.
How long does it usually take for these things to show up in the data?
To actually get the data out of people who are admitted to EDs or hospitals can take some time, but I think that the important thing is that people would be feeling the direct effects of smoke inhalation, especially if they've got a respiratory condition, almost instantly. You know, they would have trouble breathing or wheezing or coughing because of the smoke inhalation.
And so the advice to them at the moment is to still stay indoors, or was that just for yesterday while the fire was still on?
Yeah, for people now, the smoke should have dispersed. We know that it was pretty much dampened out about 3:30 this morning, and they were packing up gear later on today. So, I mean, it should be fine. It depends on if they can still smell the smoke. That's one of the big things. If they're concerned, they should just keep their windows closed. And I think that's probably the best advice. And if they've got an air conditioning unit in the house, maybe they can turn that on as well on a recycling cycle.
And have there been any toxic materials identified as part of this fire?
I think the challenge was that there were a lot of unknown particles and obviously, you know, being metal, scrap, etc. We don't know what batteries, there's all sorts of things that have gone in there, and I think that's going to take some time to find out exactly what was actually, what caused the fire and, you know, what were the, if there were any more chemically sort of dangerous type products in that fire, we don't know.
What sort of toxic materials do we need to watch out for future fires?
Oh, look, there would be so many. There would be, a lot. I really can't answer that. I mean, the fire, I'm sure that the fire department would have a better idea of the toxic materials that were, you know, at risk of going up into the smoke from that metal scrap yard.
But regardless, any smoke in itself is toxic, especially to people with respiratory issues. How does it affect people with respiratory issues?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the tissue lining in the lungs is extremely sensitive, and, you know, it irritates it by getting, especially the small particles of smoke can get right down deep into the lungs. And, you know, that's a real concern if you have got asthma or COPD, especially if you've got a child with asthma. You don't want to be exposing them to that smoke. So, you know, if there's any fire that you can smell, obviously not in the direct vicinity, but you can smell it, then I suggest shutting the windows and just maybe not going outside if you can actually smell that thick smoke out there, definitely if you've got a respiratory condition.
And are there higher rates of people with respiratory illnesses in South Auckland?
Yeah, there is actually. I mean, we know that for Pacific people in particular, it's 2.5 times higher respiratory conditions across the board, and it's almost 2.5 times higher for Maori as well. And for asthma, it's around 3 times higher for both Maori and Pacific people. For asthma and COPD, it's around 3.5 times higher for Maori. So, you know, it is a concern. You want to really, really make sure that you are looking after yourself when things like this do happen.
So basically the advice is if people can smell smoke, they should be able to close doors and get the aircon on and try and remove themselves from the vicinity that there is smoke.
Definitely. And also just make sure, you know, if they are an asthmatic and they are using an inhaler or any medication, to make sure that they have got that on hand. It might be a good time to check as well that it isn't expired. You know, it's been the holiday season, so make sure it's a good timely reminder to make sure that that is an expired inhaler. And also, I think just, you know, listen to their body. If they're actually finding that they're having difficulty breathing or they're wheezing, then they want to really make sure that they are, as you said, locking those windows, making sure that you're not letting that smoke in.
And are there any last messages that you want to say from the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation New Zealand to our listeners?
Yeah, just a timely reminder, just please check your medication hasn't expired. It's been the holiday period, and just look after yourself. And if you've asked, you know, if you've got any other questions or queries, I mean, go onto the website too, because there's a lot of information that we do have on there.
That was the Chief Executive of Asthma and Respiratory Foundation New Zealand, Letitia Harding. So just a reminder, if you did experience and inhale any of the smoke from yesterday's fire and you do have symptoms, if it's this week, next week, then please make sure you take care of yourself and go get checked out. So after this interview that with Letitia, I wanted to find out a bit more about fires and fire safety, especially because it's summer and fire season. So I talked to the National Advisor of Risk Management at Fire and Emergency New Zealand, Todd O'Donoghue, and I started off by asking him what the most likely cause of fire is during the summer.
Inside your home, cooking is still the most likely cause of fire. So if you're cooking in the kitchen, make sure you're always present in the kitchen, keeping an eye on what you're cooking and just making sure that nothing gets out of hand. But certainly in the summer months, a lot of people move their cooking outdoors, whether it be with a barbecue, a campfire, or even having a bit of a bonfire to create a bit of atmosphere. And with any outside fire, there can be ember transfer or sparks that can set fire to shrubs and things around the place. So if you're having any outdoor fire during the summer, we certainly recommend you visit our website, checkitsallright.nz, and it has some great guides for all sorts of different types of fires, whether it's a brazier or a campfire or whatever you're going to do.
Could you speak to the different sorts of risks that are posed by different types of fire, like a house fire versus a neighbourhood or urban fire versus, say, a rural fire?
Look, the risks are pretty much the same across any fire type. Obviously, everybody knows about the risks from flames themselves and how, you know, flames can burn people or, in fact, can destroy lots of other things that people value, whether that be their belongings in their home or their garden and yard that they've put a lot of work in. What a lot of people don't realise is that in a number of fires, smoke can get to you long before the flames get to you. So that's why if you're in your home, we recommend you have smoke alarms to detect a fire really early and warn you so that you can then practice or use your practice escape plan to get out. And just the same if you're in an outside fire, obviously you want to be downwind from the smoke or keeping clear of the smoke if one does occur.
And what are some practical steps that people can take to reduce fire risks this summer?
Look, we want people to think all the time, is there anything that could catch fire from whatever I'm doing? So keep that in the front of their mind. And we need people to get out of a complacent mindset. Don't think it'll never happen to me. If you're doing something that involves an open flame or something that could cause a fire, think about what would happen if this did cause a fire. And by doing that, it may make you think about what steps you should take to protect a fire from happening. For example, if you are going to be burning something in the incinerator in the backyard, if you think about, is there anything near it that could catch fire, or is the incinerator placed in a good clear area? Is the wind not blowing a gale so it's not going to blow sparks or smoke anywhere? Just get in that mindset about thinking what could happen and treat it as if it will happen and take the steps to avoid it.
Absolutely, and it's not always obvious. Sometimes it can be quite obscure. I have an example of last summer. I was just sunbathing in my backyard on the Coromandel, and I saw some smoke coming over the fence. Now, obviously, last summer was quite dry, so there were fire bans. So I immediately thought, oh, someone's burning rubbish. And then I was like, no, there's a fire ban. They can't do that. So I sat up, and I was like, fire, 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 really loudly. And my neighbour, he was like, I know. There was, I think, the reflection off some glass or something that he had outside had caught a pile of leaves on fire in his backyard, and it was a little bit touch and go there.
You're right, and that actually shows just how easy it can happen, that something can catch fire, particularly, as you say, when it's dry in the height of summer.
And should people try putting out those small fires by themselves?
Look, if it is a really small fire, and when I say a really small fire, I'm talking about you know, probably not much bigger than a rugby ball, yes, people can perhaps safely put them out if they're ready to do so. Like we always suggest, if you're doing something outside, that you have a hose or bucket of water handy anyway as a safety precaution. So if you have something little like that, like the case you just told me about where the leaves started to catch fire, people could safely douse those leaves. But what we don't want people doing is trying to be a hero and putting themselves or other people at risk. So people should always keep in mind, dial 111 if there's, you know, if there's been a legitimate fire. You know, we don't charge to respond to those. We will come and assist you. If somebody dials 111 and we get there and they say, hey, look, there was that small fire and I've put it with a hose, put it out with the hose, we'll check it out and just make sure that there's nothing smouldering, and we'll go away and leave you to it. So just, you know, it's small fires are really the key word there, because a fire can grow so fast that we don't want people thinking, hey, I could put that out, and so they don't ring us, and then it gets out of hand and they end up in danger. So I think the key thing is, you know, like your neighbour over the fence, it would have been great if he'd said something like, hey, I'm going to squirt it with a hose, can you call 111 and get the fire brigade on the way type thing.
Absolutely. Are there some small fires that are not safe to put out by yourself, or some types of fires that are not safe?
Look, I mentioned how cooking fires are inside the house are one of our biggest causes of fires in the home. Cooking fires, if there's fat in the pot, you know, you want to smoulder it with like a pot lid, or put a pot lid over it, get out of the house and call 111. Don't try and put that out with water, because that is quite dangerous and it will cause the fire to spread quite rapidly. So, you know, you do need to have a degree of confidence and know what you're doing, rather than guess at how you're going to put a fire out. If you need to guess at how you're going to put it out, you shouldn't be putting it out. You should just be making sure that you get well clear of it, that everyone else is aware there's a fire and gets well clear of it as well, and that somebody dials 111 and gets us on the way.
That was the National Advisor of Risk Management for Fire and Emergency New Zealand, Todd O'Donoghue.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.